In the rural South, there is what remains in many places, the tradition called sitting up with the dead. Do you know about this? No? No, the Southerners are nodding their heads. Yeah. All right. If you're familiar with the Irish Catholic tradition of a wake, okay, the Irish Catholics, when they immigrated to the United States following the potato famines in the 1800s, being Catholic and where they came through Ellis Island, and so most of them settled in the Northeast, all right, and they have the tradition of the wake. The Protestant Irish and Scotch and Welsh folks, they primarily immigrated to the United States in the late 1600s, early 1700s. I'm from that stock, and non-Catholic, and they came to the southern colonies and spread across what is now the U.S. South. And they also have a tradition known as sitting up with the dead. In those Gaelic countries, in the old world, there was the belief that it was possible that someone that had died might not be completely dead. And I guess there were instances where they had somebody laid out in their casket and getting ready to bury them, and they came back and resuscitated. And so you didn't ever want a loved one that might be in that case and might not really be dead. You didn't want that loved one to suddenly just wake up by themselves laying in a casket. Because, again, that would be a little bit disconcerting, I think, right? And so the tradition in the rural South is when someone dies, if you're from that stock, that you would sit up with the dead. Now, sometimes this would be in the church. There would just be someone there the night before the funeral. They would sit there all night with the body. Even if the body was embalmed, it just became a tradition. And oftentimes, it was done at home or even at the funeral home. I've done my share in my younger days of sitting up with the dead. I got to tell you, it's a very sobering thing, and I think everybody ought to go through it at least once, to sit alone in a room with a body in the wee hours of the morning for a three-hour shift, just you, and because you do a lot of soul searching. It's a healthy thing, actually. But it can also be a little bit unnerving sitting there with a body in the wee hours of the morning. In fact, a number of years ago, Ray Stevens did a song called Sitting Up with the Dead. Y'all know Ray Stevens? Would you like to see that song, hear that song? Kirk, show him that song.
Country, we didn't have mortuaries, and so it was always customary for the undertaker to do his job and lay your kin out right there at home. Yeah, and the church would loan you folding chairs, and you'd have visitation and everything right there, but when the nighttime come, you'd have to sit up with the dead, cause it wasn't right to leave them alone. Well, the last time I sat up was 65 when my old arthritic Uncle Fred died. He was 97, so stooped over, the mortician couldn't straighten him out. They used a log and chain to hold him down, covered that all up with a cape and a gown, and didn't tell nobody in the family, cause that's the kind of stuff folks just don't want to know about. Well, we were all sitting there, it was 3 in the morning. And then there come up a cloud of thunder, lightning, and storming. Well, that lightning flashed, and that thunder clapped, and that chain round old Uncle Fred went snap, rattled and fell to the floor with a thump, and Uncle Fred just sat right up. And I ain't sitting up with the dead no more.
I don't know about you. No, I ain't setting up with the dead no more. No matter what you say or do. They say the dead can't hurt you cause they already left. But what they left can sure make you hurt yourself. And I ain't setting up with the dead no more since the dead started setting up too. Lord have mercy. Well, when Uncle Fred sat up, so did everyone there. And there came a great parting of the folding chairs. And that preacher nearly knocked me down. He said, oh, I'm heading out that kitchen door. I hollered, Rev, that kitchen ain't got no door in it. He said, don't worry, son, it will have in a minute. And I ain't never seen so much jumping and shoving before. And then somebody stepped the whole cat's tail. He let out a scream, a screech, a wail. And to say the least, that howl didn't help to calm the situation down. And then that lightning flashed and that house went black. And I spoke to my feet. So I said, boys, make tracks. And I went through that screen door licking and split for time. Well, I cut through the cemetery, fell in a hole. It was Uncle Fred's grave and it was dark and cold. Yeah, the town drunk dug it and he dug it too deep. And unbeknownst to me, he's still in there asleep. And I'm scratching and jumping, trying to get out of that hole. And he woke up and said, you might as well come over here and sit down beside me, boy, cause you ain't getting out of here tonight.
But I did.
Setting up with the dead no more. I don't know about you. No, I ain't setting up with the dead no more. No matter what you say or do. They say the dead can't hurt you cause they already left. But what they left can sure make you hurt yourself. And I ain't setting up with the dead no more since the dead started setting up too. Wasn't no sense in nobody setting up with Uncle Fred anyhow. Uncle Fred dummy gonna set up with his own self. Next time, I'm just gonna send flowers. Yeah.
All right. So what in the world does that have to do with John 11? Quite a bit. In John 11, rather than having a story of folks sitting up with the dead, we have a story of the dead sitting up. Now, unlike Uncle Fred in that video, Lazarus didn't just sit up. But he woke up, and he got up, and he walked out of his tomb alive. Let's go to John chapter 11. Our scripture reading's fairly lengthy today, but I do not want to skip over this because the Word of God is so powerful. So let's read this together, verse 44 verses of John 11. Now a certain man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go so that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. When she had said this, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying secretly, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Went too far, sorry about that. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept him also from dying? So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind them and let them go, and let him go. You know, as believers, I get moved every time I read this story. I think of family and friends that have died, and how many times I've stood weeping at a grave. then I come to a passage like this and I'm like old Doubting Thomas. I just want to fall at the feet of Jesus and say, my Lord and my God. Jesus is the Lord of life and death. Not just for Lazarus, but for you and me too. John chapter 11 points us so clearly to the lordship of Jesus. And I'm not talking about just over death. I'm talking about over every aspect of our lives. As we come to the holy ground of this great story, we're confronted with the lordship of Jesus at every turn. You know, for one thing we notice is that when there is a delay, he is Lord. Something was wrong with Lazarus. His sisters, Mary and Martha, they didn't know exactly what the illness was, but they could tell he was getting weaker and weaker, and it didn't look promising. And as Lazarus continued to get worse, they knew what they needed to do. They sent for Jesus. They knew that Jesus, their dear friend, would surely rush right over to Bethany as quickly as he could. And knowing that Lazarus was sick and about to die, they knew that Jesus, their dear friend, was going to heal. And so they sent word to Jesus. But put yourself in the shoes of Martha and Mary. Each day would pass and Lazarus would get sicker. But yet there's no sign of Jesus. Now verse 3 tells us that Jesus got their message. He was told, Lord, the one whom you love, your best friend, is sick. But yet Jesus didn't come. Mary and Martha, are you sure you delivered the messages? Yes. Why isn't he coming? And the messenger said, I don't know. And then it happened. Lazarus drew a faint final breath and he died. There's no Jesus. Think of the betrayal in their heart they were feeling. We thought Jesus loved him. Why didn't Jesus come? Then within 24 hours, the funeral happens and Lazarus is placed in a tomb. But you see right here in John 11, we have something revealed to us that Mary and Martha didn't know. They didn't understand that Jesus was Lord over this delay. Look at what John tells us. John tells us that there is love in this delay. You know, when you put verses 5 and 6 together, you get an interesting joining of sentences. They seem contradictory. Look at them. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6 doesn't make sense following verse 5 when you look at it through human eyes. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Do you catch this? Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And since he loved them, he stayed where he was. It was because of his love that he didn't go. That defies our logic. You see, Jesus loved them too much to intervene until it was just the right time. He loved them so much, he did not want them to miss out on the greater glory that God had planned for them. Kids, he didn't want them to miss the Dairy Queen ice cream cake. He wanted them to enjoy the moment to the fullest. You see, even when we think that God doesn't know what he is doing, and let's be honest, don't we all sometimes think, God, are you really sure you know what you're doing here? Jesus is Lord, And he does know what he's doing. Right now, you may be in a point in your life where it seems like, Jesus, you're running a little behind schedule. You're late. Jesus, are you ignoring me? Jesus, are you just leaving me hanging? And Jesus, while you're leaving me hanging, I feel like I've got nothing left to hang on to. So what are you doing, Lord? If you're in that point, or when you get to that point, remember, he still loves you. And the fact that he may be waiting is proof of his love for you. Jesus loves you and me more than we could ever know. And if he loves us that way, that also means that he is willing to wait to give us what we really need rather than what we presently want. So we don't only just see love in this delay, but there is also a lesson in this delay. You know, when Jesus first heard about Lazarus being sick, Jesus already knew the prognosis. Look at verse 4. This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified in it. You go, wait a minute. You just said he wasn't going to die, but he died. Jesus wasn't talking about death from the sickness. He was saying, I'm going to cause him to rise from the dead. Jesus knew that in the end of this, Lazarus was going to be okay. And in the process, Jesus is going to reveal himself as Almighty God. So Jesus waits two more days. He then tells his disciples, okay, boys, we're headed back to Jerusalem. Now some of them go, wait a minute. Remember the last time we were there, they tried to stone you. They tried to kill you. Are you really sure that you want to go? And Thomas, not exercising faith, but exercising a sarcastic tongue, goes, okay, we'll go back and die with you. Jesus, sensing their hesitancy, says to them finally, look, I got to go back. Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I got to go wake him up. And what do the disciples say? Thinking, well, you know, Lord, if he's asleep, that means he's sleeping off his fever or whatever. So he's doing better, Lord. And so we really don't want to go wake him up. They weren't afraid of waking up Lazarus. They were afraid about getting stoned still. But anyway, so Jesus finally just says to them, look, guys, he's dead. He died. And then Jesus made another amazing statement there in verse 15. Jesus said, and you know what? I'm really glad for your sakes that we weren't there when he died. Because I want you to see this so that you might believe. You see what Jesus is saying? I want you guys to learn this lesson. The lesson here is that sometimes Jesus will let us suffer and struggle. He'll let us stress and strain. But when he does show up, he will leave no doubt that he is Lord and God. So again, if you're thinking he's late, again, if you're thinking, Lord, I don't know if you can handle this, remember, he's still the Lord. That's the love and the lesson that's behind the delays. So let's move on. The second thing I want you to see here in this amazing passage. I also want you to see that when there is a doubt, he is Lord. When Jesus finally arrives in Bethany, rather than being met by a welcoming committee, he is met by a host of doubters. Jesus was later than what they needed in their eyes. And now Lazarus was dead. So now at this point now for these folks, not only was he later in their mind than what they needed, also in their mind they're thinking he's less than what we need too. I love the fact that Jesus does this miracle surrounded by doubters and detractors. And I got to tell you, it's really encouraging to me, because if the work of Jesus in my life was simply based upon my ability to believe in him, there would be times where he couldn't do anything. But since it's not dependent upon my belief, but it's dependent upon the fact that he is Lord, he can do amazing things. I want you to look at the lordship of Jesus over this doubt, over all these doubts. I want you to see that Jesus is Lord even when we doubt his activity. Martha's the type A personality. You know the folks. As soon as she heard Jesus was near, man, she was out the door and down the road to meet him. And Martha's words were the very same words that Mary would say to Jesus when she finally left the house a little later. You see what Martha said in verse 21? Do you see the accusation? Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had only have showed up sooner, if you had only came when we first called, if only. Have you ever been there? What if? Lord, if you had been here sooner, things would have been different. Well, if you understand that he is the sovereign Lord of the universe, you've got to trust him that what seems to be the worst many times, God is bringing about the best. Do you know this lesson? That even when things go wrong, the activity of God is always right. You can doubt his activity, but he's still Lord. I also want you to see that Jesus is Lord even when we doubt his adequacy. Martha's conversation with Jesus reveals a strange mixture of faith and doubt in her heart. Boy, I hear myself and Martha here. She knows, for instance, that whatever Jesus asks of God, God will do. But yet, she just doesn't believe. She just doesn't have enough faith to believe that Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead. And so when Jesus says, Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha looks ahead and goes, oh, yes, Lord, I know that there's coming a resurrection day, that great getting up Sunday, as the Southern preachers like to say. I know it's coming one day, Lord, and we're all going to rise from the dead at the last day. But Martha is missing the fact that Jesus is wholly adequate to raise her brother from the dead at that instant. Notice what Jesus said to her in verses 25 and 26. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, and everyone will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he says, do you believe this? Have you ever thought that at times God brings those moments to your life so he can look you square in the eye and say, do you really believe me? Do you really believe who I say I am? I'm going to test your faith. I know what you're made of, but you know what? You need to learn what you're made of. You need to look inside. You need to question, do you really believe me? Martha's answer was as powerful as Jesus' statement. She said, yes, Lord, I have believed you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Did you catch that? Do you believe? And Martha says, yes, I believe. That's the kind of full faith that Jesus wants to develop in all of us, and he will take us through the ringer to do it. He is Lord over those who doubt his activity. He is Lord over those who doubt his adequacy. And thirdly, he is Lord over those who even doubt his ability. So here comes Mary then on the heels of Martha. And Mary has the same conversation with Jesus that Martha had. And the text tells us that everybody's weeping. Did you notice that? Notice the text even says Jesus wept. John 11:35. Young folks, you know, that's a great verse when you have to memorize one for your Sunday school teacher. It's great, John 11:35. I'd like to point out to you here, though, while everyone's weeping and wailing and moaning and crying out in their grief, and it says Jesus wept, the word description that we have of the way that Jesus wept is different than the way the others wept. Jesus is weeping for a different reason. I want you to look at verse 33. Do you see where it says there, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled? For the longest, I read that verse, and I went, oh, Jesus is grieving too. Yeah, he is, but he's not grieving because Lazarus has died. You see, the word translated, deeply moved in spirit, when you do a word study on that, in the Greek, that word was used to describe the snorting of a horse. The snorting of a horse. I grew up around horses. Why do horses snort? It's an expression of anger in the horse. You don't want a horse to snort at you because you're not going to like what comes next if you keep on doing what you're doing. And then, in verse 38, when Jesus comes to the tomb, Jesus does the same thing. He snorts. So the question is, why is Jesus frustrated? Why is his holy anger provoked? The clue is found in verse 37. The Jews said to Jesus, could not this man, talking about Jesus, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man also from dying? You see it? These mourners were questioning his ability. Folks, when you go to God and go, God, I don't think you can do this, do you realize the kind of reaction you're going to get from the Lord? Do you realize what you are saying? God, you are small. You're not big enough, God. And folks, that's not a place you want to be. Now, they were looking at it going, you know, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. I got to confess, I'd probably doubt too. But you got to see here, Jesus has not come to Bethany to pay his respects. He's come to show his glory and to raise a friend from the dead. And that's just what he did. So we've seen that when there is a delay, he is Lord. We see that when there is doubt, he is Lord. Now I want you to see the most important thing. When there is a death, he is Lord. So here's this weeping procession arriving at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus makes a request that upsets folks. He says, open the tomb. Roll that stone away. Open it up. Now, Martha says, we ought not do that, Lord. Again, Martha is the type A, the sensible, straightforward. He's been dead for 4 days. You open that up, it's really going to stink. Martha wants Jesus to do something, but at this moment, all she can think of is it would be very unpleasant to smell that odor and to look at a body that we laid in that tomb 4 days ago. I hope you catch this. Jesus isn't worried about what makes you uncomfortable when he's getting ready to do a work in your life. I'm going to say it again. Jesus isn't worried about what makes you uncomfortable when he's getting ready to do a work in your life. In fact, often Jesus wants to expose that problem that you have buried and hidden. Jesus wants to expose it before he overcomes it by his power. So he says to Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Martha, you don't have to worry about the smell. Martha, you don't have to worry about what you're going to see. Trust me. Look at what Lazarus' resurrection proves. Once the stone was moved away, Jesus wiped the tears away from his eyes. He looks up towards heaven and notice his prayer in verses 41 and 42. Look at this. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me." Apparently, Jesus has already been praying to the Father about what he's going to ask the Father to do. Then his next words are amazing. Jesus looks into that black hole and he says with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Literally, "Lazarus, here, outside, now." And Lazarus comes out. John records that the man who had been dead came shuffling out of the tomb, bound in his grave clothes and very much alive. Jesus was showing Martha and Mary and everyone, "I am the resurrection and the life. For those of you who believe in me," Jesus is showing us, "the enemy of death is defanged, its stingers removed. And even if you die physically, your life is still in my hands, and I will cause you to rise from the dead simply by calling your name." Remember this the next time you're at a funeral. Remember this the next time you reflect back on a funeral. Remember this the next time you stand at a graveside of a loved one. Jesus is telling you, if that person has faith in him, Jesus is telling you, this man lives. This man is alive in spite of what you see. Now that's crazy talk from Jesus, unless Jesus really does have power over life and death. And the raising of Lazarus shows us, proves to us, that Jesus really does. That those who believe in Jesus will never perish. Lastly, look at what Lazarus' resurrection previews. As I've said before in this series, there are seven miracles, or as John calls them, signs. They are signs that are found in this gospel. Signs point you to somewhere. And these signs don't point somewhere, they point to someone. They point us to Jesus and his lordship. I am assuming everybody's heard of the famous painter Rembrandt, right? Early in Rembrandt's career, he painted a picture. It's the one that's on the left of your screen. It's called "The Raising of Lazarus." Later on in Rembrandt's mastery of art, he would paint a second painting. It's the one on the right. It's called "The Resurrection." The resurrection of Jesus. Now, there's some obvious differences in the painting, but I want you to see that the idea, the template, however you want to say that word, for both paintings is the same. There are some similarities, but there are some differences as well. Now, I don't know if Rembrandt knew it or not. But I do think this is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants us to see in the resurrection of Lazarus. It's a preview of the resurrection of Jesus. But there are some differences. When Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days, after dying on the cross, no man was needed to move the stone away when Jesus rose from the dead. Heaven saw to that. An angel took care of it. When Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't need anyone to call him out of the tomb. He got up on his own. When the disciples came to the tomb, they didn't find a body that was bound in grave clothes. No, the grave clothes were all there, folded, wrapped up nice and neatly. Nobody had to set Jesus free. Lazarus came back to life, but he eventually died again, didn't he? Yet, the only reason that Lazarus could rise from the dead the first time was because the resurrection of Jesus is for all time. Lazarus went down to a tomb again, but the tomb of Jesus is empty. There would be another day where folks could go and find, well, here's where the body of Lazarus is. But if you go to the tomb of Jesus, like the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen. And folks, if you believe in Jesus, yes, there's a John 11 that's coming for you one day. But the John 11 that's coming for you is far greater than the resurrection of Lazarus. It'll be a resurrection for eternity. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And go to the invitation. It's a time for you to give praise to the Lord. Say, thank you, Lord. To confess your belief in the Lord. It's also a time maybe you want to join our church. It's a time that you can come and unite with our church fellowship. Maybe it's a time that you need to share and say, God's calling me to a ministry, and to affirm that in prayer. Whatever your need is, when we have this invitation, I invite you to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you that John 11 is here in the pages of the Bible, and that John 11 is coming for all of us who have placed our faith in you. That the day will come when you will call our name and tell us to come out of our grave. But until that day, Lord, help us to live in faith, believing in all aspects of our lives that he is Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.